ABC News.
You might have heard that that Memorandum of Understanding has actually been signed early, the Memorandum of Understanding between the United States and Iran. It's hoped to be one step closer to an eventual peace deal. And partially in response to that, the Australian government has downgraded travel warnings for a number of countries in the Middle East. So it's places like Bahrain, Kuwait, Israel, Qatar, and the UAE. So Max Najjar is from Axis Travel, has been taking a look at this. Max, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Yes, how are you? All good?
Yeah, good, good. Have many people been modifying travel plans in recent months?
Yeah, well, actually, in the last 48 hours, 24 hours, I'd have to say absolutely. People are now reconsidering going to Europe via the Middle East or Africa via the Middle East or even the United States via the Middle East. So, yes, a lot more inquiries in the last 24, 36 hours. But there's a really important point, though, and I think it's really got to be done. The memorandum has been signed off by the countries, both countries. But if they're going to continue to bomb Lebanon, and if they're going to continue to do their, whatever you wish to call it, the war in Gaza, Iran reserves the right not to continue on with the actual signing off. Are you aware of that? And that's really important. I tell you why I stress this, because although it's been signed off, you've got to make sure that all the terms of the agreement have to be met by the Americans and the Israelis. So Israel, even within the last 2 hours, have been bombing Beirut City again. So if they don't agree to the stopping of the bombing in Lebanon and in Gaza, the atrocities they're doing there, then this whole thing could still collapse. So my opinion in the travel and tourism industry after 48 years is let's wait and see what happens Saturday, Sunday, South Australian time. Because that's where they could go backtracking.
Because that must surely be one of the things that comes up the most is people just saying, look, everything feels so uncertain at the moment, just that lack of knowing what's going to happen next.
Yes, absolutely. And there's either 12 or 15, nobody's been able to read it all yet, 12 or 15 terms of the agreement, and they have to fulfil them all. Iran's been very solid on this and saying you need to stop all this stuff. And I think, you know, something which me and you are totally out of and everybody's out of it, Netanyahu has to do what Trump says. Stop the war, stop the bombing in Lebanon, stop what they're doing in Gaza as part of the agreement, and then they'll open up, as you know, the canal, the Hormuz, and they'll start doing repatriations and stuff like that. So that's the negative stuff. But the positive stuff is what I think we need to look at. Yes, they've gone from a level 4 with the DFAT, Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade in Australia, and also Canada, Italy, Switzerland, Germany, France have all done this now. They're going down to a level 3, which means it is now a little bit safer travel via the Middle East in transit and or stop over through the Middle East points onto your other destinations or staying there. It's gone from a 4 to a 3, which means most insurance policies, please read the PDS, are going to allow you to make a claim on some of the costs, but not all. So from level 4 to level 3, it's a little bit easier now to make a claim with some insurance policies pertaining to medical or emergency evacuations than it was in level 4.
Has that been one of the great sticking points of people saying, look, if I'm not insured, I really don't feel comfortable traveling?
Correct, because the PDS, the product disclosure statement, was very specific on, I'd say, 99.9% of the insurance policies, is that if something happens when they were on level 4, if something happens, we're not going to protect you. That's the best way to summarise it, for medical, for emergency evacuations and so on. To be specific, for example, with the Covermore policy at the moment, which is one of the biggest in Australia for travellers, and one of the best actually too, they actually say we may not be able to provide emergency assistance services in destinations subject to level 3 or 4 advisories. This includes circumstances such as closed airspace or security restrictions preventing evacuation or repatriation. And if it goes back to level 4, which it could do by the end of this weekend, or hopefully it doesn't, by the way, then they'll go back to that revised condition. So they will be able to assist you. And look, as travel agents with ATIA, the Australian Travel Industry Association, behind us, we've been very successful in assisting clients who book through travel agencies and getting their tickets rebooked, reissued, and so on, and emergency evacuation. So we've been working very harmoniously with the airlines to do this. But, you know, we're still, I'm sceptical. I've been doing this for too long, probably. I'm still sceptical. I don't trust the politicians. So let's just see what happens. I hope it goes positive, and then we'll go back to level two and level one, and therefore just keep travelling everywhere.
On the insurance side of things, am I right in saying that part of the concern there was even if you were just transiting, if you weren't necessarily stopping off in the UAE, for example, but just had a layover, that even there were concerns that whether or not you'd be covered in that instance, even if you technically, you're not kind of entering the country or the nations as such, but you just...
No, even in transit, you're spot on, you're correct. On level four, if you were in transit and you broke your leg or if a bomb hit the building or something like that, and a level four, which was there 24 hours ago, you would not be protected for civil commotion, for wars and so on and unforeseen circumstances. We would not be protected. And if you lost your suitcase, they would. But little things like that. So yes, that is very correct. And that's why people were hesitant. But again, if I can just go back and say that we've had hardly any major issues. Yes, changing flights, rebooking, reissue tickets, because we work on a satellite communication systems called Sabre or Galileo or Amadeus. We don't use consumer websites of the airlines. So we're given information, we've got inventory control, and we can pump out a ticket within 30 seconds to get people in and out of country. So we've been very lucky as travel agencies to be able to help the clients, and they don't need to worry about not having insurance. Do you know what I mean? And most of our clients, and I do not think there's one story anywhere in the world where any traveller has been, that was nice, has died or been severely affected in any of these countries. Even the UAE, if I can just mention this, they've been really good in saying, okay, you're staying in a hotel for three nights. The UAE government have been paying the cost for the hotel stay and not the consumers. And that's been fantastic. The airlines like Emirates and Etihad and Qatar Airlines, Singapore, Lufthansa, KLM, they've also been allowing us to issue tickets for the clients at either zero cost or minimal cost to put them on the next flight, even with another carrier out of or into the countries. So working together harmoniously, that's what it's all about, having contacts to be able to do that. I don't believe the consumers, in fact, I can tell you, consumers can't do this on the websites or when they ring an airline 1-800 number and stay 5 hours on the phone. So we can do all that stuff. And I think it's important that you do have somebody to back you up.
Do you think over time, Max, this will change some of the way people get around? I know that in some instances, what maybe you would have described as kind of secondary routes have almost become primary because of trying to sidestep the Middle East. Or do you think if this does hold, and like you say, we all hope that's the case, that, I mean, do we just go back to the way things were pre-conflict, or could there be a bit more of a variety of ways to get around now?
No, I agree with what you're saying. Plan B and Plan C is what we call it. So what we look at schedules of airlines, the airlines, even if the airline ticket costs you more. I'll give you a really good example. Say they're going Air France from Paris to Dubai. We would make sure that on that particular day, you've got two or three flights available on that day with either Air France or another carrier. And we'd be telling the clients this, look, pay a little bit more. Don't go with an airline with a schedule for one flight per day. Go with an airline like, such for example, Air France, and they'll give you four or five schedules on that one day. So we put them on the morning flight. So then they've got four or five flights up above that, that we can actually physically change the ticket as a travel agency on our computer system, either at no cost or minimal cost. If it's an involuntary change, that means the client hasn't made the change, they've just cancelled the flight. So yeah, the answer is absolutely. Plan B, Plan C is what I call it. And a lot of our clients, not only corporate clients, but our travelers who have to meet a cruise ship or tour, they would do that. It gets a little bit better. The more logical clients, I call them, with experience, they'll take our advice and do not arrive in a destination a day before your cruise or a day before your tour or wedding or funeral. Get there 2 days before, 3 days before. Yes, you pay more for accommodation, but you know what? You got a buffer. You need the buffer zone for plan A, B, and C. And in my, you know, four decades plus experience, well, I'm finding a lot more experienced clients are taking our advice and saying, okay, hang on, what kind of insurance protection can we have without paying for insurance? And they say, well, Access Travel is going to suggest you take that morning flight, then you've got three flights to back you up and get there before the tour, before the cruise, whatever it might be. Yeah, it has changed a lot, I'd say, in the last 10 or 15 years, because external influences, which apply from things that we have no control over, political, religious, whatever, we just need to back up our clients. And that's what I would certainly recommend to any person, whether they're experienced or not experienced. Don't get to your destination and make sure you've got backup flights. If you can't do it yourself, get your travel agent to make sure that they can tell you there are backup flights on that day.
Julian Mitchell Parker sent a question on the text line 0467 922 891, saying we had all of our AirAsia flights to Bali cancelled about a month ago because of the petrol crisis, but we're still waiting for our refund. Is there a long wait for refunds or a delay for refunds at the moment? Have you heard anything about that, Max Najjar?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. As members of IATA, the International Air Transport Association, we put pressure on all the airlines to get the refunds back within 4 to 6 weeks. If you've done your booking directly with the airline online or whoever, then that's your problem. And we find the biggest delays are the ones who have done it with the airline direct. And we have noticed that. And we don't say laugh at it. We think, well, that's bad luck. Because we have an intermediary with IATA, the International Air Transport Association, and with their rules that we have to abide by. And guess what? The airlines have to abide by. And under their protection international law, they have to refund the money back normally within 4 to 6 weeks. With the war, though, I must tell you that they're taking 7 to 8 weeks, but we always get it back. And as an agent, we are legally obliged to make sure that we monitor all the actual refunds, be it a cruise company, an airline, a hotelier, whatever it is. So we're the intermediary, the conduit, I think you can call it. Mm. And the answer is yes, it could take a while. I've heard horror stories of people waiting for refunds from some of the Middle East areas and 3 months. 3.5 months. Mm. My average or our agency average is between 4 to 6 weeks maximum. And if we don't get the money back within 4 to 6 weeks, as I said to you, we're legally liable to get the money back for our clients. Mm. Then we go back through specific avenues and say, listen, you've got to get the money back.
Just finally, Max, do you get the feeling that there are a cohort of people that are kind of holding back and maybe would have taken an international trip if it was a holiday, for example, but are thinking, look, let's just put it off? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I can even tell you that that's happened a lot. People who were traveling are now not traveling. And also the other thing is that if they're going to go to the United States at the moment, nobody's going to the United States at the moment as much as they can because it's such a hassle with the immigration guys at the borders there. Yep. So, yeah, tell all your listeners this is what's happening. So America is really off of it at the moment. It's an off country because they're just denying ability to go in, and I think it's Mr. Donald Trump's doing all that stuff. And it's a shame because they're asking too many questions at immigration, and as a destination, a fantastic destination, fantastic people, but they've got politics involved and they're stopping people from going there. Mm. So yeah, there has been a bit of a downturn. If this thing happens this weekend and they do stop bombing Lebanon, they do stop having all the chaos in Gaza, I can see tourism booming again and the airlines are going to go back and make a lot of money, and they'll charge more for their airfares because this sounds a bit negative, but they're going to have to make up the money that they've lost.
Yeah, Max, really appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Max Najjar from Axis Travel.